Hey, you got him with this one, Doc. It's so soulful. Let's take him back. Come on. Hey, remember back in the block, in the summertime when the sidewalk got so boiling hot that the heat from the street almost melts your flip-flops, or burn through your new shoes and leave you with holes in your socks. Us city slickers, there was no watering spots, so we'd head to the corner, Mr. Warner would knock off the knob.
Welcome all my doodadders, future fathers, potential parents, and everyone else tuning in. This is Dad Hard with a podcast, and as always, I am your host, Mo Green. Happy day 4,000,002 of quarantine. I hope we are really all getting to know each other and our children much better. I know that I am. And while sometimes it can be stressful and crazy, you got to look at it as being the best thing on the planet that we have this time to really get to know each other inside and out. I learn new things every day about both of the women in my life. But that said, welcome to Dad Hard with a podcast. This is episode 48, a.k.a. the Jacob deGrom, or if you want me to stick with basketball, the Nasir Muhammad episode of Dad Hard with a podcast. It has been a wild 48 episodes because this 48th episode also signifies the full 1 year anniversary of Dad Hard with a podcast. That means we've really only missed 4 weeks in 52. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty good, I think. But anyway, this is the 1 year anniversary of Dad Hard with a podcast. It was 1 year ago this week that I launched episode one of the podcast. And that started this whole thing that has just kind of grown into something that I never really thought would get this expensive and grow this quickly. And it's been fantastic. You know what I mean? When we first started this thing, it was just something that I wanted to test out and try and just kind of put my two cents out there to try to do my part in this fatherhood, brotherhood, to help any other dads coming up behind me in this journey. And it is now turned into the number 96 ranked parenting podcast in the country, which is fantastic. I just found out that I'm like the number 1500 podcast in India. So shout out to India. Appreciate you guys. In the top 2500 podcasts in all, across all facets of podcasting here in the US. It's been really fantastic, and I appreciate every single person that tunes in every week, or even if you tune in some weeks because you like the guest that I got on. Anytime you tune in, I really appreciate it. And I hope that whether you're a parent, a soon-to-be parent, or somebody not even thinking about being a parent, you get some semblance of value out of this. And my conversations with different dads and moms and parents and couples now, this whole season has been talking to almost nothing but couples. I just hope that everybody gets something out of it, and I really appreciate every single person listening and following along and continuing to listen and share and offer, the content that we're bringing you here at Dad Hard with a podcast to your friends or family or anybody else that you know that might, need or want some semblance of relatable content that can help them through this parenting journey, specifically this fatherhood journey. So I appreciate it. In my eyes, everybody that listens is a member of the Fatherhood Brotherhood just because you listen to us every week. So I appreciate it and thank you very much. It's been a fantastic ride, and we're going to keep on rocking and rolling as I got some pretty cool stuff coming down the pipe over the next few weeks, which I will get to when I get to it. But until then, to connect on a fatherhood brotherhood, feel free to shoot us an email as always at dadhardpod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at dadhardpod, and you can listen to the pod wherever you're listening to it right now or on any other podcast platform that you can imagine, from iTunes to Spotify to actually directly on Amazon Alexa. We're on Amazon Music now officially. We are all over the place. So this is fantastic. You can listen to us wherever you want. And if you don't even have a podcast platform, you can still listen to Dad Hard with a Podcast on the website WeDadHard.com, where this episode will be blam, looking you right in the face at the top of the playlist. So you can listen to this. You can listen to my last episode, episode 47, that I did with the Stand Up Dads podcast, which was absolutely hilarious. And, you know, I know everybody's heard of the dad jokes, but until you listen to the Stand Up Dads podcast, you have never heard of the dad dick jokes. And they were plentiful on the last episode. But they're really great guys. Shout out to them, Mike and Rob. All the success. They're fantastic. They've spoken at Comic-Con in the podcast segment of Comic-Con. They're some pretty cool dudes, and it was a really fun conversation. So if you haven't done that, definitely check that out. And you can check out the whole catalog, both season one and season two of Dad Hard with a Podcast, right on the website. Now, getting into the actual meat of episode 48. This week is an episode that I wanted to do kind of to launch season two, but I just have been holding back and really getting into it. And I thought that the 1 year anniversary of the podcast episode was actually the perfect episode to get into this. And that is the all stressful 1 year birthday and everything that comes after that. With your child, right? And I say the all stressful because, as I've alluded to with some of my guests on the pod so far this season, this 1 year birthday party is so freaking stressful that you feel like you're just like up to your eyebrows in anxiety. You know, you want everything to be perfect as a parent, right? Because you want to do your best to make a memorable moment for your son, for your daughter, for your kid, but also for yourself and also for everybody else that is going to attend said 1 year birthday party. Now, here's a little known fact for you parents out there, or soon to be parents out there, that have never thrown a 1 year birthday party. Your son or daughter will never in their lifetime ever remember this birthday. Ever. Never, ever, 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 ever. And it inevitably will cause you so much stress because you still want it to be perfect, right? Everything that you do for the first time as a parent, you want to be perfect. You want to be the best parent that you can be. You want to make sure that your son or daughter is eating the best food, drinking the perfect type of milk, whether it's organic or, you know, if they're allergic to lactose, that it's non-lactose, etc. And I'm going to get into this milk thing in a second, because this is a whole other catastrophe that could possibly arise after this 1 year birthday. But we'll get into that in about 35 seconds. This 1 year birthday, there's so much that you put into it. Right? Money. Where's the perfect time? What can we do? Who are we going to invite? Let me do the invitations. Let me get the balloons. Are we going to have people bring presents or no presents? What type of bubbles and all this shit. There's so much shit that you want to put together, and it's fantastic to put that together. It's fun-ish. Not really that fun. I made that up. It is not fun at all, but it's like fantastic to want to do all this, right? Parents, save it for the second, third, fourth, fifth birthday, because I'll tell you from my experience and from talking to other dads, my daughter didn't even know that it was her birthday, much less that it was a freaking Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday. It was just another day for her. Right? The only difference was that she got to smash her face into some cake. You know what I mean? Like, and it actually ends up being kind of disappointing from a parent's side, right? Because your son, your daughter, your child doesn't get anything out of it. They don't actually remember, like I said, they don't remember anything, but they actually don't get any value out of it. They don't have any different experience. They just think that it's another day, especially if you and your family are around people a lot. Now, given we were in quarantine, so we haven't been really around that many people, but like we did two birthday parties. We did one at my in-law's house, which is across the street, and another in a park with some friends. She goes to the park and goes to my in-law's house every single day. So it wasn't really like it was anything different for her. But what else are you going to do? Not even being in quarantine, you're not going to take them to a gymboree. They're a year. She can't even walk. You know what I mean? There aren't that many kids in our circle that are around this age that we can even invite, because you don't even know anybody yet by the time you're 1 year old. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have friends. You know, you're not making a guest list of like baby friends to go. You can make mom and dad and parent friends that maybe have babies, but your child doesn't have baby friends, right? So it's a weird thing because your child doesn't get anything out of it. So when you put all this energy, all this time, like wanting to make it perfect, and in the moment, it is. It's cool. It's great. But when you see that your child isn't like experiencing this perfect thing that you put on for them, it's kind of disappointing, and I'm not going to lie. And I don't even know if my wife felt the same. Haven't really talked to her about how that felt. It was cool. It was great to celebrate first birthday. It was awesome. It was a nice time for me and my wife to reflect on our first years being parents beyond doing an episode on the podcast. But like really see it happen and see her as a one-year-old, right? That was really cool. It was a little bit of an out-of-body experience. That was awesome. But the aftermath of it, it is kind of a letdown because your child doesn't get that same feeling out of it. And it's not from lack of appreciation, obviously. They're 1 year old. They don't know what appreciation is, you know? I could run around in circles and jump up and down and get my daughter everything that she possibly needs. And then if I just don't give her a cheddar bunny, she'll freak out and start crying. She doesn't appreciate shit yet. She's 14 months right now. She was a year old. You know, they don't get that. And that's what ends up being disappointing about it. Because you're putting in all this time and energy and stress for such a lack of appreciation. And again, not that it's a bad thing, but, you know, listen, I don't normally try. I try not to normally give advice on a pod because I'm a big proponent of everybody doing their own thing that is right for themselves as a parent, for their kids, and for their family. But if I'm to give one piece of advice, parents, yo, dads, especially, well, actually, both parents, but don't stress out over this first birthday. Keep it small. Keep it simple. Get some family together where you and your family can appreciate everything that you all have been through together in this parenting experience, because family is just as important as the actual parents in this. You know what I mean? As parents, we lean on our family so much to help us through this first year specifically. Get with family. Keep it simple. Don't do a big hoopla, because it's only going to drive you crazy, stress you out, cause all sorts of tension between mom and dad, you know? And it's really for no return, right? It really isn't. Get some family together. Show your family how much you appreciate them. And, you know, show your child how much you appreciate the fact that they're here and that you have this awesome, awesome, awesome thing in your life that you have spent, you know, the better part of the last 2 years molding, for lack of a better term, right? That's the best thing to do and the best way to celebrate the first birthday. And it's also because it'll be with the people that your child sees the most. They want to spend time
with your family, right? With the extended family, with the in-laws, with your parents, with, you know, any brother-in-laws or brothers, uncles, aunts, etc., right? Close friends, you can throw that in the mix too. That might as well be family as far as I'm concerned. But keep it small, keep it simple, keep it close, because that's where the appreciation is. You're going to find the appreciation, right? That's where you're going to find it. You're going to find it in putting something together that everybody that had a part in, you know, raising this child and helping to raise this child for the first year, you know, it does take a village. Everybody can now appreciate how far you've come as parents. And this birthday is really for you as a parent. And it's for you to be appreciated and for you to take the time to appreciate what you have built in your family. And keeping it close, keeping it small, keeping it family oriented, is definitely the way to go. I will definitely tell you that 100%. Not that I didn't love hanging out with all my friends and all my wife's friends in the park and having pizza and having drinks. But that was more of like a hangout for us. You know what I mean? It was more of a hangout for us. If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't have even considered that a birthday party for my daughter. I would have just done that on our own with a bunch of friends, gone to the park, drank in the park, hung out with my daughter running around in her little playpen. And I would have kept it family. I would have had more family in the mix and kept it close and kept it with the people that are super important and influential in this process, right? That's that. Now, the hangover from the first birthday party lasts a long time. Like, I'm still catching up with everything that comes with my daughter turning one, right? And not just the birthday party, but once they hit a year, there's a lot of shit that needs to change and a lot of shit that changes in them, which I guess is why a lot of shit needs to change, right? Once they're 1 year old, they're probably crawling all over the place and getting to the point where they want to get from point A to point B in super light speed. And they're moving all around. So you're needing to be hyper-focused on where they are really for the first time. Now, obviously, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 months, they're starting to get there. So you need to keep, but they're not moving like this. Like, you know, once my daughter hit a year, I'll turn my head one way, right? And she's completely gone. I have no idea where she is. She's probably trying to fall into the toilet. And we were in the living room before, which is all the way across the house, right? So that's number one. They want to move. They're at a point where they want to move. And what comes with moving? Exploring fucking everything. They want to explore everything. They want to open this drawer. They want to taste this piece of garbage. They want to, you know, slap this chair. You know, they want to rip this piece of paper or book or magazine or work contract. You know, they want to explore and attempt to do everything to everything. So with that comes baby proofing, which I still haven't done yet. I maybe have baby proofed one door in our entire apartment, and it is probably the most insignificant door of them all. But you know, all that baby proofing, you know, making sure that your outlets are covered or that your wires are stowed away, because they're going to get into these things and they're going to try to play with them, pull them out, stick their finger in, put it in their mouth, everything. This is that, I mean, and again, this can happen before 1 year. But at this 1 year mark, like, that's like a baseline where it really changes. You can see the maturity. You can see the precision and plan by which they have to cause as much chaos as possible. And I swear, they just want to make it as stressful on you as possible. Straight up. Once they hit a year, it's like, I'm going to see how I can push mommy and daddy's buttons today. They're probably talking a lot. So when you're, and talking, I don't mean saying actual words and having a conversation with you. I mean mostly just screaming and demanding that they either have things right now or stop doing what they're doing right now. You know, whether that's eating, whether that's changing their diaper. Don't get me started on changing their diaper. My daughter will not sit still on a changing table to change her diaper anymore. And that happened right when she's turned 1 year old. Before that, it was cake. It was easy. The only thing she didn't want to stay on her changing table for was to get the snot sucker, you know, and get the snot sucked out of her nose when she was sick or stuffed up. Now, she refuses to stay on her back for anything at all whatsoever. And again, that changes at 1 year old. They have an agenda in their head. As short as their attention span might be, they have an agenda in their head and they don't want to be stopped. And that's a whole nother level of stress that you're dealing with, right? And of course, now their diet has to change, right? In addition, most people are, I don't know, I'm not going to say most people, but those that are breastfeeding, you now have to start or supposed to start transitioning off of breastfeeding. Now, I don't know anything about that life because we didn't go that long as far as breastfeeding. But when you're talking, we did go that long with formula. Now we're supposed to start transitioning her off of formula and onto milk. What happens if your daughter or son doesn't like milk? Like, ding, 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 mine doesn't. Mine refuses to drink fucking milk. The only way that I've been able to get her to drink milk is by letting her pour it all over herself out of a bowl of Cheerios. It is the only way. She won't even drink the milk off the spoon. She's going to dip her hand into the Cheerios and stuff the individual Cheerios in her face. But you have to get the milk. Now they need the calcium. They need those vitamins that are in milk. They need those proteins specifically, right? And it's not even about the lactose. We tried the lactate. It has nothing to do with that, but they need this. And it's, you know, when you go to the doctor and they tell you, you need to get milk 3 times a day, 3 portions of milk, 3 bottles worth of milk, all this milk, they just got to drink milk, drink milk, drink milk. And then your daughter or son doesn't want to drink milk. It's fucking stressful. Do you know how many different ways my wife and I have tried to manipulate milk to make my daughter be able to get calcium? We have had to go all the way as far as just giving her ice cream for dinner just so she could get fucking calcium in her diet because they need it now. They need those types of vitamins. Now, listen, can those vitamins be gotten from other things besides milk? Probably. Did I do the research on that? No. But my doctor told me and told my wife she needs to have this amount of milk a day, then this amount of calcium, and this, you know, she needs to have this amount of dairy. So we need to get that to her, and we're doing it any way that we can. And if that's stressful, making all of these transitions for the first time, it's like going back to being a new parent again, almost, except you're getting a little bit more sleep, right? You're still now learning a completely new world, right? You're now giving them actual food. There's no more purees. There's no more, you know, chopping it up real fine and making separate meal for baby type of thing. At least not with us. Like that, our doctor told us, you know, let her eat what you're going to eat. So now it's making extra food for her. But now when we run out of those leftovers, it's scrambling. What is she going to eat? We can't just give her a bottle anymore or give her a pouch or something like, or applesauce that's easy. We actually have to make full-blown meals for her now. This is a change after 1 year old. You know, all these things that now compile on top of each other, and you're like learning an entirely new pathway in parenting. And it's wild and it's stressful and it is very nerve-wracking because as a parent, you want to make sure that you're doing everything quote-unquote correctly or to the best ability possible, right? You want to make sure that your child is healthy and getting all the nutrients and vitamins and proteins, etc. that they need. And you don't really know how what they're getting and how they're getting that. You're listening and reading things, but you don't know if it's working. And it's a stressful thing, especially if you're not taking to certain methodologies that you're being, you know, steered towards by your doctor or by whatever parenting group you're in or by whatever articles or books you're reading. It can be a lot of weight coming on your shoulders. And what I want to say in that vein is don't let it weigh you down. You know, keep just trying to do things. And if that means giving your daughter or son ice cream for dinner so that they can get dairy, then give your son and daughter ice cream for goddamn dinner. And they will be on a sugar rush for about 40 minutes. And then they will have the best sleep of their life and probably sleep an extra hour. That's what happens with us. And it is glorious. I love ice cream for dinner days. But for real, this 1 year mark is a massive milestone because it comes along with so many other milestones that you as a parent have to adapt to. It's not so much that your child is changing because there aren't that many specific changes, right, that are happening. They're getting better at things and they're needing to do things that they've been doing for months better and more, you know, moving, eating more, eating better, eating these specific things and transitioning out of the other specific things that they were eating. You know, there are so many different things that are changing in their body, but not necessarily physically, if that makes any sense. More like their bodily chemistry as opposed to their physical ability, right? Whereas for the first year, it was all physical ability changes. You know what I mean? Now they're sitting up. Now they're rolling over. Now they're crawling. Now they're saying sounds. Now their poop is becoming less black and spraying. And it is hard little balls because they're eating food. They're going from eating, you know, mush to, or going from eating breast milk or formula or both to eating mush, to eating slightly less mush, to eating a little bit less mush, to eating very finely chopped almost mush, to eating very finely chopped foods, to eating, you know, it's physical evolutions that they're going through. After 1 year, it's chemical evolutions that they're going through, and that's almost more stressful because as a parent you don't see those developments, but you know that they're happening, or you're being told that they're happening, you know. And what you can't see is the hardest thing to understand and to know if you're doing a good job or not. And that, again, that makes the anxiety levels really high, especially as a first-time parent. And that's this been this last couple months as a parent, is trying to make sure that you are doing things to get my daughter where she needs to be or get her what she needs without seeing the end result of that in any way, because it's just all chemical. And that's that. So dads, moms, parents, non-parents, anybody that just likes listening to my voice and learning about parenting, or following an experience of parenting. I don't know how much you learn or don't learn. That's, I don't know. But anybody that's following along, like this post 1 year, it gets a little bit difficult to navigate. But just do it. You know, just do what you think, continue to do what you think is right, and everything will be A-okay. I will guarantee you, my daughter is absolutely fine. And like I said, you know, she's ice cream for dinner, she's pasta, she's a whole lot of cheese, you know, and she is fucking fine. So, you know, just do what you think is right and do what you have to get your kids and your child what they need. And that's what I wanted to do in this episode. That's really what I wanted to get across here. That this 1 year mark is a big change, but it's a big change for us. And just roll with it. Roll with the punches the same way you roll with the punches leading up to this culmination of the first year. Don't let these unseeable changes kind of freak you out and catch you off guard. Just keep going with what you think is right, because what you think is right, 9 times out of 10, is 100% right. Besides that, I want to leave you all with this. My daughter shit in the bath the other day, and that was the first time she did that, and it was fucking gross. I saw this little brown, black little ball floating around amongst her bubble bath, and I thought it was her little rubber penguin, but it was not a rubber penguin, because she had the rubber penguin in her mouth, and it was a ball of poop. And thank God she had the rubber penguin in her mouth and not the ball of poop. But yeah, shitting in the bath, it is a very interesting thing to deal with. So my advice on that is, once your child can like shit on command, or like whenever they want, or can shit balls, right? And actual nuggets, right? When you get them in the bath, first thing you got to do before you let them play, wash them down. Wash. Do wash first, then let them play. Because if they shit after they are washed, then you don't have to put a smelly child to bed. Because you best believe, once I saw this little duty floating in the bathtub, she got yanked the F out of the bathtub, put in her towel, wiped down with a wipe diaper on, and I thought that I could not have to think about it ever again until I had to fish the poop out of the bath water that I didn't let go down. This is an interesting thing. This probably should have been an Adventures of Bad Dadding segment, but I just want to catch you off guard and tell you that my daughter shit in the bath. So when she listens to this when she's 18, I can play this for all of her friends and she could be embarrassed. She better not mess around with dad, because we got a podcast. But yeah, pooping in the bath was the first time she did it, and it was a disgusting experience. And with that, I will leave you off to your merry way with this week's episode of Dad Harbor, the podcast. That is right. This is the entire episode. And I doubt that you want to hear me continue rambling on for the next 30 minutes. There's no guest this week. I wanted to air this first year shit out. Because I think it's important. I think it's an important part of the parenting process. And it's a stressful part, like I've said 400,000 times. So that's all for this week's episode of Dad Hard with a Podcast. Again, as always, to connect on a fatherhood brotherhood, shoot us an email at dadhardpod@gmail.com. Follow us on the Instagram at dadhardpod, and check out the website, wedadhard.com. I don't do solo episodes very often, so you can check out all of my guests that have come on, all 45 plus of them that have come on and listened to their stories about their children not pooping in the bath. So that's all for us. Until next time, same dad hard time, same dad hard place. We're out of here. Peace. Remember back in the days before you got blazed and lost in the haze. Gotta remember the good times. Remember back in the times when being just a kid was fine. Right. Remember back in the days before you had brains or cared about your ways.
Care about nothing.
Remember back in the times when being just a kid was fine.
Right. Ain't that the truth, man? Wish you could go back being a little kid again, man. Remember them good times. Everything was free spirit and all that. I'm talking the playground. You was playing on the monkey balls or whatever. Sprinklers, hydrants going off in the street in the summertime. That home cooking. Can't be that, man. You remember. And if not, need to rewind this.